Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Fix America, the world's greatest family talk show in all of the universe. We are here for you. Thank you. And we do it in four parts plus one. I am, of course, Jack Hatfield. And the four parts plus one, positive fathering. Make a positive difference, fathers. Make a difference, mothering. Make any difference, mothers. Pull through parenting and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease in the diet, where we prevent, cure, and stop degenerative diseases from affecting your family, including tonight in Greenville, South Carolina. I need a bell ring. Ding, ding, ding. In this corner, what if cancer is not a disease? What if cancer is not a disease? But before we get started, as we always do, when class is in session, we say the pledge, right?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
all. All right, class is now ready to go. And again, my name is Jack Hatfield, and you are listening to Fix the Family, Fix America. We are glad that we recorded that recently, because the little girl, as most of you know, that recorded that is now missing three teeth right in the center of her face. It's a pretty interesting way to talk. We have that recording now for posterity. As she says it today, this morning, for her own class, you can think that there was some stuff going through the teeth. Okay, there's lots of stuff going on today and this week. It has been amazing, and we are glad to talk to you about it. And again, back in Greenville tonight, what if cancer is not a disease? That will be tonight in Greenville. If you are 6 hours away, get in your car and start driving right now. Get down to the Earth Fair in Greenville on Pelham Road and see tonight, what if cancer is not a disease? That could be your ticket to understanding what could be possibly happening around this country. So get there tonight, 6 hours from now. Get in your car, start driving. Everyone 6 hours away or closer. And get there for this evening's What If Cancer is Not Disease, Disease in the Diet Workshop. That is tonight. Now, why adults cry so easily in animated kid movies? I don't know, but we'll try to figure that out tonight. Then, of course, you hear all about folic acid supplements for pregnant ladies, right? Well, now there's a negative article saying folic acid doesn't help people with heart problems. What? Why would they say that? And then the elusive make females a little more randy drug has been stopped. We'll see about that. Excuse me on the choking. No choking. All right. And then retina procedures on rise in seniors. Why? Why would that be? We're going to check into that. And then food addiction. We touched on this a little bit about 2 weeks ago on how rats, when you feed them junk food, they will electrocute themselves to keep on eating it. And we got into excitotoxins and all kinds of stuff. And we're going to talk even more about cheesecake eating rats and thinking that obesity is a mental illness, according to this article. We're going to look at that. And then nighttime lights, as we say here on Fix Family, Fix America, make your room completely dark as possible and as cool to get your restful night's sleep. In fact, last week, we talked about tips to sleep better. One of them was make your room as dark as possible, remove even the alarm clock light. And there is another study this week, nighttime light ups the weight in mice. So another reason to make that room dark. And then, if we're going to talk about macular degeneration, we're going to talk about some things that you can do naturally to prevent this and why it could potentially is on the rise in seniors. Excuse me, had to have a sip of libation. Libation day is clear, perfect, natural water. Woo! At least till noon, anyway. Then they're talking about school cafeterias to try a little brainwashing in the lunch line to get kids to choose healthier foods. I don't know about this, but they're trying to use marketing tricks to encourage kids to pick healthy fruits and veggies. And then, of course, marriage, everyone talks about it all the time, but there are benefits for men. There's a complex link between health and marriage. So another reason to start your family, men, is going to be talked about here in a little while. And then they're talking about colonoscopies, may miss some stuff. So we're going to talk about that. And then if you eat a lot of fish, what could be your benefit? And then a 3-year-old boy that is just a little too big. We're going to find out why he's a little too big. And then we're also going to tell you an amazing fact about where he is too big at. And then if we get to it, of course, we always run out of time on the show. 5 tips to keep your memory sharp. 5 tips to keep your memory sharp. What did I just say? I forgot already. Let's get started, people. Fix the family. Fix America. Listening to Fix Family, Fix America. Well, we do it. Positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. Now, your kid, your listener of this show, you know, got to get that out of there. Your listener of the show, you already know how to parent your kid better than most other parents that you see in the stores, where the tantrums and et cetera go on while the shopping cart's filled with the Popping Tarts and Rice Krispies, toaster pastries and Rice Puff cereal. you already know that, but guess what the U.S. Department of Agriculture is starting to do? They're giving $2 million. $2 million. Just here you go. I'm going to spend your money because you don't know what you're talking about. But if you're a common listener of this show, you know this is a bad thing. U.S. Department of Agriculture giving $2 million to food behavior scientists so that they can use marketing tricks to encourage kids to pick fruits and veggies over cookies and french fries. Let me repeat this. Your tax dollars has now been given to some people, and they call them scientists now, food behavior scientists. I believe if they gave them to New York's Main Street big marketing firm. They could probably figure out better tricks for less money. But anyway, these are food behavior scientists, and they are to use marketing tricks to encourage kids to pick fruits and vegetables over cookies and french fries. I don't know why all of a sudden cookies and french fries are bad. It's just the way they're cooked, probably. Let's go through this. Some of the ideas that the scientists have come up with your $2 million, ladies and gentlemen, understand that they have come up with some quick behavioral marketing tricks to encourage your kid to pick fruits and veggies. The ideas, the first one is hide chocolate milk behind the plain milk. I'm not making this up. This is fact. They have come up with this. They wrote it down. They said, you know what we can do with your $2 million? We can put the chocolate milk behind the plain milk, and the kids can't see it. Well, why the heck wouldn't you just remove the chocolate milk if you don't want the child to have the chocolate milk? Oh, yeah, freedom of choice. Forgot about that. But it's not really freedom anymore when you hide it behind the plain milk. Number two, putting the salad bar near the checkout lane. I guess that's the way marketers work in grocery stores. Remember, all of your impulse purchases are right next to the checkout. Your candy bars, your gum, the rag mag that says, oh, my gosh, an alien just landed in Nevada last week. And all the other impulse purchases are there. Now they're thinking that if you put the salad near the checkout, it will become an impulse purchase. Now, if that was true, it would already be there inside grocery stores. So that one's probably not happening. Here's another one. Are you ready? Placing fruit in pretty baskets. Because you know a kid's looking at some fruit in an ugly container and going, I'm not going to eat that. It's in the ugly container. That's exactly what kids are thinking. These are food behavior scientists, ladies and gentlemen. $2 million. $2 million for them to do this. Hide the chocolate milk. Put the salad bar near checkout as an impulse purchase. Placing fruit in pretty baskets. Pretty baskets. Oh, look how pretty. Makes the fruit look so much prettier. Everything's pretty now. And last on this list that they came up with, accept cash only as payments for the desserts. That's right. Your kid, if you withhold the money, they can't buy the dessert. Meaning you can't use the whatever food card they use or whatever. I don't know. But there you have it. $2 million for big-time marketing food plans by these food behavior scientists. Now, studies by Cornell University researchers have found that these tactics work. And they are starting a brand new child nutrition center with your $2 million to test more of these methods. More of these methods. More hiding of the milk. I don't know. Put the potato chips under the fruit, I guess, is another idea they're going to come up with. I don't know. How about just learn nutrition and feed them correctly? How about that? That's a good one. But no, we can't do that. $2 million, that's not enough to do that. $2 million is only enough to tell them to hide the chocolate milk. Hide the chocolate milk! By the way, chocolate milk is a great sports drink. For those regular listeners on the show, you absolutely know that chocolate milk is fantastic. Okay. I don't know what else $2 million is going to get us, but that's got us those four right now. So incorporate those at your house. Hide your chocolate milk behind the plain milk. Put a salad bar next to the door. Put the fruit in a pretty basket. Nice. Nice. Fruit in a basket, people. You got to have it. Fix the family. Fix America. Fruit in a basket. Okay, I I can't skip this one by, so I'm not going to take a lot of time to amass this. 3 years old, ladies and gentlemen, 3 years old, a toddler has now weighs the equivalent of an adult, tipping the scales at a staggering 140 pounds. Three-year-old toddler, tipping the scale, staggering 140 pounds. His name is, I think, Xiao Ho. Maybe Zhao. Could be Zhao Ho. Dwarfs his petite mom and is so big he's been banned from several nurseries because he's a health hazard to other kids. His mother, Xiao Lin, is begging doctors help her son lose weight. Doctors do believe that he may have a growth hormone disorder, while others state the victim of the little emperor syndrome where families are allowed one child who is then spoiled rotten by doting relatives. And Dr. Liu Hong says he's not just overweight but very tall as well, and we may be able to treat him if it is really hormonal. Otherwise, they're saying he cannot remain like this or his heart will never stand the strain. Remember the ads over here in America on how China and its rice, if you eat the Chinese diet, there's not a lot of obesity over there and that kind of thing. This boy's in China, by the way. This boy's in China, and he weighs 140 pounds at 3 years old. 10 stone, if you're in Britain. 10 stone. I don't know the Britain weight. But anyway, in China, so if the Chinese diet was the absolute number one answer, then this boy has to have hormonal problems or something else. And wouldn't you think that they could find that out? But they have not. They are thinking that the mom and doting relatives are feeding him too much. So, interesting. Interesting. So, as a regular listener of this program, you understand that that Chinese myth that rice is the answer and is not true. So, more proof of that. But we do have proof of something else. They're saying that if you eat a lot of fish, you will cut your prostate cancer mortality. Eating lots of fish may not protect men from developing prostate cancer. I want you to understand that's the first line in the article, that the headline is fish-filled diet may cut prostate cancer mortality. Okay, so the nitpickiness of this article says that if you eat a lot of fish, you won't die from prostate cancer, but it won't stop you from getting it. Because they can't go that far, right? Right. 1 in 6 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer over this lifetime, and 1 in 6 of these will die of prostate cancer. And the study says that the number of men who die once diagnosed is lowered by more than 50% among men eating lots of fish. So what they're saying is it halts it to the point where it can be treated correctly. So wouldn't you go a little bit further and just start eating some fish now? Because they found, understand this, the team found no link between eating lots of fish and the risk of developing prostate cancer. But they did find men who ate more fish were 44% less likely to develop metastatic prostate cancer, meaning go somewhere else. And higher fish consumption was associated with 63% lower risk of dying from prostate cancer. They don't know how in this study, how it all works. All they can say is eating more fish can have some benefit. In fact, they even say how many servings of fish or how many grams needed a day, we don't even know. So what was this story about? Oh, it's probably omega-3 fatty acids in oily fish. The good stuff. What are we eating a lot of? Fix the family, fix America, people. You know it. Omega-6s. Because of all those engineered oils that say, oh, we got this whole awesome profile of omega-6s. But remember, grass-fed beef's omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is 1-to-1 inside the fat and inside the protein. That's what we used to be feasting upon. Omega-3, getting more of that is important. Make that happen. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Now, since this show is called Fix the Family, Fix America, why not? There's a lot of men that listen to this show. Two fine ways to begin that family. And let me tell you one thing. If you did do it, your mortality will go down because marriage seems to benefit men in health. Married men and partnered men are healthier and live longer than their single counterparts. Contrary to conventional wisdom, men in committed relationships experience less stress, reducing the chances of chronic disease and sudden illness. Health and marriage are the benefits for men are undoubtedly close related. They are trying to figure out that marriage encourages healthy behaviors that include not smoking, avoidance of excessive alcohol intake, better nutrition, and care in times of illness. Men who are married are less likely to engage in risky behaviors like substance abuse or drinking and driving. Parenting within a marriage further promotes healthy behavior. Well, parenting in general should promote some healthy behavior because you're trying to put on a good face for the child, correct? Those of you who listen to the show regularly know that would be the case, but sometimes we talk about parents that don't really do that, such as the one you saw in the market full of toaster pastries and rice puff cereal while the child goes in a berserk manner around the shopping cart. And they say stress hormones are lower in married men through this study. So, Fix the Family, Fix America also fixes yourself. And if you tie that with eating fish, your prostate will be much happier. See? See all the stuff we got going on here? Woo! Fix the Family, Fix America. Here we are. Beep, pop, boom, pop. That was pretty neat. All right, so you've decided to fix the family, fix America, and you are a male that just listened to that, and you're going, okay, that's it. I'm going to create the family. Well, lots and lots of men write into the show and say, hey, I heard about this female Viagra thing. How's that going? Well, not going too good, ladies and gentlemen. You're hearing it first. The German pharmaceutical company Boehringer Ingelheim has announced it is done with the flibanserin, otherwise known as Garosa. I don't know where did they come up with this stuff. It was a pill to treat, I did not know this was true, female hypoactive sexual desire disorder. It sounds very close to ADD or AAHD or ADHD. Hypoactive sexual desire disorder. They have stopped it, as it was dubbed the female Viagra, following the FDA advisory committee meeting in which the panel said it doesn't seem to work at any better in increasing the female sexual desire than the placebo. So the committee also voted 11-0. The company has failed to demonstrate the benefits of flibanserin outweigh the risk. And let me tell you some of these risks. These are fun risks here. So in trying to get your libido going, you could faint. You could accidentally hurt yourself in that fainting. You could not go to sleep, and you can be tired all the time. Okay, those are all opposites of each other, are they not? Faint and hurt yourself, or you cannot sleep, but you're tired all the time. HSDD is defined as the persistent or recurrent deficiency or absence of sexual thoughts, fantasies, or desire for sexual activity, which causes marked distress of interpersonal difficulty. Boehringer Ingelheim said in a statement, it will complete its two most advanced studies in order to add knowledge for the scientific community for women suffering from HSDD, but it will discontinue the rest of its development program. So, while the FDA says flibanserin isn't ready for prime time, it agrees that we need to do something for HSDD, otherwise known as hypoactive sexual desire disorder. So while this one didn't work, they say someone needs to get on it. So if you are a drug company and you want to call up Boehringer Ingelheim, call them up and tell them, send us your study stuff, and we'll see what we can do. Now, back to the prostate thing. A colonoscopy looks for the other side of that battle, and now there's an article out of colonoscopies may miss as many as one in every 13 colon cancers. Now, why this would be said, because every test in the world misses a certain percentage, why this is suddenly a major deal, let's read into it. It's important to study the factors associated with the diagnosis of colon cancer occurring after colonoscopy. So what they're saying, several recent studies have raised questions on the effectiveness of the colonoscopy as currently performed in everyday clinical practice. So they're saying it's possible that clinicians that are performing the exam are not doing as good a job as they used to in paying attention to the early warning signs of tumors. So what they're basically saying is that in the healthcare area, there could be some people that are performing routine colonoscopies not paying as close of attention as they possibly could be. So it's not really the colonoscopy test that's the problem. It's the person looking through there. They're also saying a less expensive test is the fecal occult blood testing, which involves taking tool specimens and mailing them to the doctor's office or medical lab. And they do not say which test is best. So, again, this article saying colonoscopies may miss. But in reality, you sell a house. In reality, you find out that this article talks about routine overlooking by the people performing the colonoscopy. So they're also yelling at you as a patient in this article. They're saying to increase your chances of early diagnosis, it's important that all individuals undergoing colonoscopy strictly follow the instructions for bowel preparation. It may be a nuisance, but it will maximize the view. So it may not be the doctor. It may be you not doing as good a job to clean out your colon before the colonoscopy. In other words, human error, just as normal in anything. Simply pay attention, do the best you can, and be prepared for your early treatment as much as possible. Hey, where's my car keys? I don't know. You're rushing through the door. You're rushing. You wake up. You get in the shower. You get your toaster pastry. You grab it. You pop your coffee in a cup, and you go, where's my car keys? I can't remember where my car keys are. But all of that's in going to your job in which you get there, you run down, you drain, you look around, and there's a lot of people around you not working too dad blame hard. So finally you say, you know what, I'm tired of this rat race. I'm tired of running through the day just to get to the end of the day, to come home as tired as I was when I left, and it feels like I accomplished nothing. There are many, many people that write us and feel that way. And so we encourage you to get out, figure out some way to start that business, to live on the edge, become the entrepreneur, reveal the entrepreneur inside yourself, and you can do it quicker, faster, better with your friends at sandhill.sohooffice.com. I'm not kidding. Those people, logos, web design, business cards, the best business cards you could touch, everything ready for you right there. Printing, shipping, suites, meeting rooms, computer services. Show your face to the world in the best possible light. Sandhill.sohooffice.com. I cannot recommend them enough. If you are going to get out and do your own thing and be your own boss and be your own entrepreneur and unleash the power within you, you can do no worse than go to sandhill.sohooffice.com and get the jump start you need. Get the heads up you can, get the leg up, and get everything that you possibly can get and do better than you possibly can on your own at sandhill.sohooffice.com. If you want to give them a call, call them at 803-713. Goodness, forgot the rest of the number. Zero something. 0311. I will get the proper number and tell it to you in a little bit. But on the web, sandhill.sohooffice.com. Let me just pull that up while I'm standing here because that is terrible. I call this number almost every day. I was close. 736-5011. 803-736-5011. Sandhill.sohooffice.com. Give them a call and unleash the entrepreneur in you today and do it fast. And do it quick and do it better than any other entrepreneur around you, because if you did it like all the other workers that are standing around you while you listen to the show, you know where you'd end up. Let's go, people. Thanks for the family. Take care. Glad you're up, you're ready. Now back to the scenario where you're running out the door and you forget where your car keys are. There are five ways to keep your memory sharp. Do you ever forget the name of someone you just met? Hey, we all do, don't we? Don't you remember? You can't remember where you put your keys, whether you lock the door on your way out, you're sitting there on a ride to your night out, and you go, did we turn the oven off? Did I turn the iron off? Did I turn my curling iron off? Did I turn off this, and then you can't remember? Well, we all do forget occasionally. But what if memory loss and inability to focus progress and become more and more frequent? Well, unfortunately, memory loss and aging do go hand in hand, according to scientists. I don't know about that, because Fix Family, Fix America listeners know we can do things. Constant learning, constant evolving, and constant stretching that mind is one way to forego this problem. Anyway, as early as the early 20s, the brain begins losing neurons and the body starts making less of chemicals that the brain requires to work properly, not to mention the excitotoxins that are in your food that help kill certain brain cells. We won't get into that right now. We did that last week. There's a couple tips that you can slow down this process. Number one, eat healthy meals. That's weird. We never say eat healthy meals on the show. I don't know why we say it now. They're saying you should eat. The American Academy of Neurology is saying eat fruits and vegetables high in antioxidants, berries, oranges, spinach, carrots, broccoli, tomatoes, and sweet potatoes. Really good stuff. Oh, also blueberries, cranberries, grapes. Really good stuff, because you get elements as curcumin and B vitamins and niacin and folic acid. We never tell you to eat this stuff here. Number two, Lay off the booze. They're saying that some people don't remember anything about the previous night's party after binge drinking. Well, yeah. That is correct. They're saying that it will interfere with the long-term memory that night. If you trying to forget that night, you now know a way. Number three, exercise your body. When your body's working, your brain's working. There are you don't have to run a marathon to keep your mind sharp. Mind-body exercises can also help you in the battle against memory loss. They're talking about Chinese exercises in here. They should be talking about that three-year-old doing these exercises. Tai Chi, Qi Gong, they help you with better learning and memory capabilities compared to those who do not. And overdoing it, exercising to the point of dehydration, can actually harm memory functions. Yes, if your brain doesn't get enough water or nutrients and or glucose, your memory functions will not work. And if your thyroid is not functioning correctly, that will not work. And we spoke about that in length on the excitotoxins, and we talk about it in the consumption of the world's worst food, soy oil and soybeans in general, destroying thyroids all across this country. All the time. So if you want to do that, let's put this all out. I had somebody ask me yesterday. I said, there's so many tips and tricks and facts and things to do, things not to do. And I said, no, not really. There's five. There's really the big five. Number one, no engineered oils. That means no soy, no canola, no corn. Oil. No engineered oils. Just don't eat them. They're oils that your body has never seen before and cannot get those oils in nature. You cannot go out and grow corn oil. You cannot go out and make soybean oil. You cannot go out in the wild and get canola oil. So no engineered oils. Very simple. Number two, fructose. Stop eating fructose. Fructose. We say it all the time on the show. Put some cats on the right side of your yard, put some cats on the left side of your yard. On the right side of your yard, feed the cats fructose. On the left side of your yard, do not. There will be one group of cats that gets high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, overweight. That will be the fructose cats. The other group, they don't get that stuff. So you got no soy, no canola, no corn, no fructose. Number five, green juice. Take some green juice, people. All right, back to the five tips to keep your memory sharp. Exercise your brain. Not just exercise your body, exercise your brain. By listening to this show, you are doing that because your mind is expanding. As we push your thought out to a certain point, then we have stretched your mind. Just like tonight's disease in the diet workshop in Greenville, South Carolina, we can stretch your mind because the title of this workshop tonight is What If? What if cancer is not a disease? What if it's not? Well, what is it? Well, start driving in 21 minutes, if you are 6 hours away, to get to the Earth Fair tonight to find out what if cancer is not a disease. So it's very important. Number five on Keep Your Mind Sharp. Take memory-boosting supplements. What? So what you're saying is, number one, where you said eat all this stuff, you're saying I might not eat all that stuff, so I should take some supplements. And, yes, those supplements are antioxidants. The same stuff that's in the blueberries, the cranberries, but make sure it, normal listeners of this show know, get your vitamins from whole food vitamin sources and not from the synthetics. Remember, we talked about the B vitamin that's made from a synthesizing acetyl alcohol and makes a chemically equivalent beta carotene. That doesn't sound like it's as good as sweet potato beta carotene, right? True. So take your folic acid, your antioxidants, herbs that, herbs that aid in the production of neurotransmitters and a compound used to transmit nerve signals in the brain and stop eating your excitotoxins, which can actually destroy brain cells. Jack, what's a cytotoxin? Oh, yeah, we went over that in multiple shows. Regular listeners know, but real quickly, you got your aspartame, your monosodium glutamate, a couple other things. Those can cause you problems. Other supplements, ginkgo biloba, B vitamins. This one's big and tough. Phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine, which are phospholipids of fatty acids, which are found in the membrane of all cells. And they keep the cellular membrane, keeping it fluid and flexible, and they serve as precursors of the brain's neurotransmitters. So your phosphatidylserine levels decline with age, and your phosphatidylserine supplements can reverse the decline in memory and concentration. Oh, and your amino acids. Where do you get amino acids? Those are the building blocks of proteins. So that whole don't eat a lot of protein thing is not working. And then your fatty acids come from the fat that everyone's telling you not to eat. Something's wrong here. You tell us in one article that we need to get fatty acids and protein, but in another article you're like, don't eat a lot of fats and protein. You see how it goes around and around, just like the light bulb thing and mercury in your fish? Yes. Crazy. And then, of course, L-taurine, a potent neuroprotector. Guarding the nerve cells against stress and toxins, L-pyroglutamine, essential for metabolism of neurons, and DMAE, a precursor to neurotransmitters, can improve your short-term memory. This is big stuff. Grass-fed meats, coconut oils. Those are fantastic ways to get everything I just said. Soybean oil, canola oil, corn oil are zero ways to get anything I just said. Zero. Now, at the end of this month is the engineered oils class. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about that in a disease in the diet workshop, and we're going to spend an entire hour here on this show going through it deeply so that you understand. You must understand. Now, macular degeneration. Let's go into this. They are saying that retinal procedures are on the rise in seniors. Now, marked increases. I'm talking marked increases of retinal procedures since the late 1990s. Okay? Between 2001 and 7, a sizable increase has been seen in injections to treat neovascular macular degeneration from, let me throw this at you people. The number from 2001 to 2007 was, there were 4,215 neovascular macular degeneration cases to the current number of, no, not 5,000, not even 10,000. Not even 20,000. 812,413. So we went from 2001, from 4,215 to 812,000 macular degeneration cases. Now, macular degeneration is a degenerative disease, not an acute illness. Remember, this is the first year that degenerative diseases are going to kill more people than acute illnesses. And if you're not sitting here thinking that it's something we're consuming causing this, I don't know what to do. The neovascular macular degeneration cases have went up from 4,215 to 812,413. Ah, They also found out that between 1997 and 2000, there was a 192% increase in retinal procedures overall among Medicare recipients. Now, macular degeneration, let's go into it a little deeper. Okay? What it is slow deterioration of the cells in the macula, which is a tiny yellowish area near the center of the retina where vision is most precise. This deterioration, therefore, affects your central vision, the very vision you use for reading, writing, driving, and recognizing faces. Now, macular degeneration causes the loss of the central vision, but your peripheral vision is not affected. So when you look at someone head-on, it's blurry and funky, but all the stuff around you is still clear. Now, there are two types. There's the dry type, which is small yellow spots called drusens form underneath the macula. Drusens are believed to be waste products that accumulate because of the lack of antioxidants to clear the waste from the eyes. I'm going to repeat that. Drusens are believed to be waste products that accumulate because of lack of antioxidants to clear the waste from the eyes, meaning cranberries, blueberries, vitamin C, vitamins in general, fruits and nuts, coconut oil. Remember, coconut oil is full of antioxidants. That's why it can sit on the shelf and not deteriorate. Leave corn oil out. Leave soybean oil out. Other than the bleaching and the soaping that they did to it, which killed it and made it already dead, the food is the only reason it will sit there long. It was rancid when they made it. They cleaned it up, bleached it, chlorinated it, basically. But do you think that could be a waste product that would accumulate behind your macula? Could be. Anyway, the drusens slowly break down the cells in the macula, causing the distorted vision. Now, dry macular degeneration can progress to the second, more severe type, which is called wet. Wet, new abnormal blood vessels begin to grow toward the macula, causing rapid and severe vision loss. The exact thing that premature babies have to go through, called premature retinopathy of prematurity, ROP. What happens is blood vessels start growing towards places where the retina says, let's go, let's go, let's go. Now, remember about 2 months ago where we talked about, and if those of you that have been to disease and diet workshops, especially the one tonight, What If Cancer is Not a Disease, we talk about angiogenesis. Obesity, cancer, other tumors cannot survive if blood vessels do not grow into that area. Angiogenesis is the lack of allowing blood vessels to grow. So if you can halt angiogenesis, you halt wet macular degeneration. Symptoms of macular degeneration, straight line look wavy. Distinct shapes blurry. Colors look dim. Words appear blur. Darker blank areas block the center of your vision. There's a fog in the center of your vision. Some of the causes that they say are free radicals passing through the crystalline lens could possibly damage from ultraviolet light. Free radical damage is accelerated by these terms, smoking, chronic fatigue, and compromised immune systems, or nutritional deficiencies and poor digestion. We spoke in length on stomach acid and how people, more and more, the number one drug now, Nexium, Pepcid, Zantac, stopping you from digesting your food completely because it's stopping your stomach acid from being created. So you've got your protein pump inhibitors being taken on the rise, stopping your true digestion of the foods. Let's say you're eating proper foods, but you're taking that Nexium because your doctor said, oh, you've got acid reflux disease. So you can't even digest the foods that you're trying to consume and eat properly. And then suddenly your eyeball sits there and goes, I can't get what I need. So I've got some macula issues. Individuals at risk for macular degeneration include women, smokers, diabetics, high blood pressure. Those lacking sufficient ability to absorb nutrients through their digestive tracts, meaning every person on Pepcid, Zantac, or Nexium, and those with a family history of macular degeneration. Drugs that can also damage the retina, Plaquenil, which is hydroxychloroquine sulfate, which is a drug routinely prescribed by rheumatologists for rheumatoid arthritis. It has been called irreversible retinal damage. But your hands feel better. Chlorodyne is used to lower blood pressure, has been known to cause macular degeneration. And the whole family of NSAIDs, meaning your Advil, Motrin, Bayer, Aleve, ketoprofen, naproxen sodium, Tylenol, though not an NSAID, can also be harmful according to this article. So, is there a way to eat better, like increasing your nutrients of omega-3 fish oils? Omega-3? Why do we keep talking about that when the corn oil people and the soybean people say omega-6? Oh, and all that butter people, those fancy, we got healthier butter. What about that? Oh, that's a lot of omega-6s. Anyway, COQ10. We talk about that in length, causing you incredible things. L-carnitine has been shown to slow down macular degeneration and preserve vision. So, if macular degeneration is caused by us not eating properly or getting the nutrients that we're eating digested correctly, and it's on the rise because there's a rise of prescribing Nexium, Zantac, Pepcid, and taking it. It's actually the number one area where people walk to in a drugstore. Do you think that maybe that's the reason we go from 4,215 to 812,000 cases? Wow. That's all I got to say. Now, the price tag for treating your macular degeneration is approximately $24,000. Just wanted to throw that in. Fix Family, Fix America listeners know exactly what I'm saying when I say that. Woo! Remember last week where we talked about the mites that would eat the fast food and electrocute themselves to eat more of it and the excitotoxins and stuff? Well, now they found out that U.S. National Center on Drug Abuse is asking if obesity should be included as a brain disorder. And they're citing that the evidence for food addiction has been found in studies using a wide range of experimental approaches, one group examined cheesecake eating rats who were given access to not cocaine or heroin, but rather a cafeteria style diet, including bacon, sausage, cheesecake, pound cake, frosting, and chocolate. The rats showed disruptions in brain reward function similar to those occurring following the administration of addictive drugs. The rats also demonstrated a behavioral effect in sensitivity to adverse consequences of food administration. In other words, they didn't care what was happening to them. They did not care about the adverse consequences of getting to the food. So they're saying that there's substantial evidence that some people lose control over their food consumption. And so it's possible that they will include it as a brain disorder. What are you talking about? Psychologists and psychiatrists took over obesity in the 1960s. They took it out of nutrition, metabolism, endocrinology, and genetics to make it an eating disorder as a character defect. So that's something to think about. So instead of changing and educating ourselves on what we're feasting upon, pay no attention to the ingredients on the box, but the fact that you're consuming all this and obesity is on the rise, it has to be a brain disorder so that you don't think it's your fault. So psychologists and psychiatrists took it over, taking it out of the nutrition, metabolism, endocrinology, and genetic area. That's why you have psychologist Dr. Phil with books on how to not be obese. So the most addictive substance in food, which is there's the most scientific evidence, points to sugar. And the one food that you don't have to consume to live, sugar. And we wonder about that high fructose corn syrup thing. Really, we do. And lastly, real quick, I'm running out of time. I got to get this in. So sorry to do this. They're finding out that nightlight exposed mice, they don't eat more or move around less overall, but they shift to more munching at off hours when they're inactive. So, and that's even exposed to dim light at night. Mice exposed to dim light at night gained significantly more weight and lost their glucose tolerance compared with mice housed in a dark environment at night. Remember what we spoke about, the natural order of things. Sun's out, do stuff. Sun's down, go sleep. Natural order. But then we had this invention, Thomas Edison, a great invention it is. Let us do a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. But when it's time to go to sleep, you need to cut off that light. Remember, they didn't eat more or move around less. They just were exposed to light at night. Night light, light night. Woo! So the gentle glow of television may be contributing to the obesity dip. I don't know how they're saying all light comes from only television, because you have night lights on clocks, you got lights in the house, you got lights on refrigerators, ovens, everything. So the timing of the food intake appeared to be key, leading to the excess weight gain, because it disrupts the metabolic signals. For humans, this may translate to late night snacking in front of a TV or computer. So they're suggesting there'd be some blackout time, blackout curtains on the windows, blackout, and have some calm down time before you go off into bed. We've been saying that for so long. Sleep is vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. Sleep is vitally important. We can't say it enough. Okay, we've talked about a lot now. If you are 6 hours away, in 49 seconds, get in your car and start driving to the Greenville Earth Fair for tonight's Disease and Diet. What if cancer's not a disease? Everything's kind of getting the disease mantra now. Acid reflux disease. Obesity is brain disease. We're going to talk about what if cancer's not a disease. Macular degeneration up 4,000 to 812,000. Get there tonight. Hope to see you. Thank you for listening, Fix Family. I am Jack Hatfield. Now, do your work. Go home, kiss your spouse or significant other, put your children to bed, pour yourself a fantastic beverage, and have a nice, relaxing evening. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.